growing the gold one like that. It's meant to represent the growth in our love for others and our love for Jesus. As we take the step of belief and start journeying with Jesus, what the Holy Spirit does is He starts growing us in love. So that's what we're supposed to look like, church. I'm supposed to look like it, He's supposed to look like it. And the other triangle is one going the other way, starting big and getting small. And that's supposed to be our journey with sin. It starts off and we start off with a lot of sin in us. Some of us might feel we're more holy than others, we've lived a good life. The fact is that we all start off with lots of sin in us. We're so imperfect, and I think almost the more we go along in the Christian faith, we realize how imperfect we are. Paul is for one to be more and more. He's a perfect example of what love is. He's a perfect example. And that's essentially what we're called to. This verse from Proverbs 4 says, the way of the righteous, and that should be us, those that are following Jesus, is like the first gleam of dawn. If you wake up early in the morning, there's not this amazing radiance, unless you wake up well after the sun's up. But if you imagine that it's dark and the dawn is coming, it shines ever brighter until the full light of day. So that's what our walk is supposed to be like. It's supposed to be growing radiance in Jesus. So I just really feel that, you know, that's essentially what we call to. We grow in our radiance for Jesus as we follow. How amazing would it be if we're able to walk in that? Our church looks more and more like Jesus. Grow in radiance as we follow. As I was preparing this week, to elders meeting down in Maritzburg at One Life, and on the way back I stopped at a robot. And in front of me was a guy that probably most of you guys have seen before. He was a beggar. Car in his disheveled garments. A sun-beaten face, a sun-worn face. Something like this guy, a little bit. And as much as, you know, we're taking this journey of becoming, I think so often we see ourselves like this beggar. We feel like this beggar. That we are just, we fall so short of it. And I think sometimes we kind of feel like giving up almost. Like a beggar just gives up and he stays who he is. Interesting, this guy, I did a search for beggar pictures last night. And this story came up of a guy in India. This guy, I don't know if it is exactly this guy, but this was a picture as part of the article. The guy chooses to be a beggar. He's got a piece of land that he inherited. So he's got an inheritance that was worth 1,000 rand. He's also loaned. So he's got an inheritance. Like in many ways, we have an inheritance. So I guess one thought as well is that, you know, do we as Christians... Okay, but if we look at ourselves, I think there's an element of truth to being beggars. Isaiah 64:6 says this. We are all infected and impure with sin. Flay our righteous deeds. They are nothing but filthy rags. Like autumn leaves, you wither and fall. And it's not a picture of victorious living. It does say about our own efforts. Our own efforts are the best we can do. We might think, geez, I've had an amazing week. I've had an amazing month. Things are going amazingly well. And we can start feeling proud in ourselves. But the fact that ourselves with Jesus, offer, the best we can possibly offer, is filthy rags. And I think it's important to know that, you know, that even, I think sometimes we feel like we, you know, I'm like a beggar and maybe there's other people on a pedestal, but we're actually all in this journey. We're all in this journey and we're all so far from being like God. And it's useful just to have that we're not called to be, in this life, we are not going to be perfect. And by ourselves, we are in a sense like beggars. Okay, so one of the verses I was actually chatting with Jono about as well and some of the men on Wednesday, Paul is talking about this divided man, what his own experiences. In Romans 7, 21-24, he says, I've discovered this principle of love. When I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. Anyone felt like that? Mm-hmm. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war. Power makes me a slave to sin. But what a miserable person I am. And that's often how we feel. Who's going to free me of life that is dominated by sin and death? So we really do feel this challenge. We've got this amazing call to be holy, but we struggle. We struggle with sin. We all struggle with sin. So I think sometimes we do feel, you know, a wretched man that I am. But I think Romans 7:25 speaks into this, and this is a continuation of that first verse. It says, thank God, this Paul says, thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So he's not saying we're stuck there, that there's no answer to the sin. Thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. See how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law. But the reality is we are slaves to sin. But Jesus is dichotomy. There are these different elements. It's not a straight answer. answer and Jesus' answer. And I want to just explore. So I think what I really want to say is that our righteousness, our standing before God, if it was just left up to us, we would have to look at ourselves just like a bear, filthy with. Well, thank goodness, because of Jesus, Romans 3, 22-24, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. Rightness with God, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Don't we so know that? God in His grace freely makes us right in His sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when He freed us from the penalty. Something that Jesus has done that just wipes out essentially all the guilt, all the bad things that kind of put something over us. There's an amazing exchange that takes. God saved you by His grace when you believed. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us know that as much as we call to this life, it is more and more like Jesus. We can never, that life that we live can never pay. It's never going to be good enough. So as much as we called on this journey, our standing is not because of us. We're not seen as God's children because of how good we are. We're seen as, that's really important just to grasp that. That it's not, if we've had a bad week, we haven't fallen out of God's grace. We're not now, you know, not good enough. Jesus says He has paid the price for us. He covers us. So in a sense, because of Jesus, we have a new identity. It's an identity of being clean. He has made us clean from the dirt of our sin. That our thoughts no longer give us trouble about. We are really clean. It's like He has washed our bodies with clean water. Done. He doesn't see us as we maybe see ourselves. He washes us by His blood. Colossians 3, 9-11. I like the way the message puts these verses. You're done with that old life. It's like a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes you've stripped off and put in the fire. Look at that beggar, what he was wearing, those filthy clothes. Now you're dressed in a new wardrobe. This is talking about us now in Christ. We're dressed in a new wardrobe. Every item of your new way of life is custom made by the Creator with His label on it. It's almost like there's a suit. I don't know, a quarter suit, I don't know the names of fancy suits, but essentially He's given us a suit that reflects nothing that we've done. He dresses us. All the old fashions are now obsolete. Words like Jewish and non-Jewish, religious, irreligious, insider, outsider, uncivilized, uncouth, slave, free, mean nothing. For now, on everyone is defined, from now on, everyone is defined by Christ. Everyone is included, defined by what Jesus has done, not by our best efforts. So we define not by our best efforts, which often we feel are like filthy rags. So that's just important foundation. That's how we can face God. We get this amazing new set of garments in a sense, and Jesus sees us washed clean with new garments that He's put on us, His children. So different to often how we see ourselves. So going back to Romans 7:24-25, where Paul says, "What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord." So he says it again, thanks be to God. Jesus is the one who's going to deliver us. But I think the truth is that all of us probably live with this divided identity. I think very often we can feel, maybe in church we feel like we've got all the robes on, but then we step out, we have a bad week, we do something wrong, we slip up, we feel like we're a beggar. In a sense, as we walk this Christian, we are sinful, and the best we can offer God is never going to be good enough. At the same time, God clothes us with these amazing garments, which reflect who Jesus. Does that make sense? So I've been battling to grasp this thing, because it would be lovely to say, we're just like this. We're perfect. My reality has been one of, I see that, I know I'm called to that, but actually so often I'm not walking in that, and I look at myself and say, why on earth am I that? And I think there's an element that a bit of both. But we're called to be like Jesus, almost like as we walk, that suit should start to shine more and more. It might start off quite transparent, but as we walk in Jesus, it starts to kind of brighten up, and the dirty self, which is behind, starts to fade in the background. Does that make sense? Can you see that kind of that transformation? Because we can't stay even looking at ourselves as beggars. We're not called to stay beggars. We call to reflect who Jesus is. So the old has got to go, and the new has got to come. And the transformation does have to happen. Okay, so that shift also needs to happen, where we start accepting who we are and start walking in who we call to be. So going back to where we were talking about last week, I spoke a little bit about this diagram of this call to transformation. And, you know, one thing that's been in my mind is, you know, is this even possible? Sometimes we try and try and try, and there are areas of our life we don't see the victory that we would love to see. saying, you know, is this even possible? Has Jesus got the power to set us free from sin that we struggle with? Can he transform us? I don't know if any of you guys have had those questions. But I mean, there's certainly in me, there's this desire to follow Jesus. I want to see myself along this path. But sometimes there are bumps along the way, and we can get quite disappointed with ourselves. So I've spent some time just having a look at the Bible and just looking for what speaks into this. And there are a lot of verses that I think it's important that we understand what we're called to, but also whether or not this is achievable, right? If it's not achievable, then what's the point? So in reading through what the Bible said, I would say, yes, we're called to live free. So I'll go through some verses now that really say that this transformation, this kind of this glowing man, where the suit that we're given starts to glow more and more, that transformation of becoming more like Christ, that is, we're called to live. So Romans 6:6-7 says this, you know that God has called our old nature to die with Christ on the cross. Called our old nature to die. This happened so that God could make us free from the power of sin. So God wants to make us free. Calling is to make us free. We are no longer like slaves who have sin as their master. Mastership there. So there's, Jesus has paid for something where sin was our master. We had no chance. Whereas now Jesus has paid for victory. Does it make, paid to make us free from the power of sin. So sin does not have to stay in power. There's a sense that sin, the power of sin is broken. It's paid for. So it must, in Romans, it speak into this. Romans 8:3-4. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the body as we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us. Because of Jesus has done, he paid for something. Paid for, I think sometimes we think it's only for when we die one day, he paid for us to get. It's not what he's speaking about here. An end to sin's control over us. It's not just about the end, it's about now as well. Can you see that? By giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirements of the law would be fully satisfied for us. About the end, the just requirements, one day, we know that requirement to have our sins paid for needs to be paid for. So he's paid for that, but he can no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. So can you see it's both? Jesus has paid for sin's ultimate consequence and for the control that sin has on us now. He's paid for that power to be broken, for us to be transformed. 5:13 says this, for you have been called to live in freedom. Quite a big word. I just think of Scottish film, what's his name, Braveheart. You know, when he kind of calls his troops and they all go, there's a call for us to for freedom. There's a call paid for that freedom. My brothers, yeah. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. So there's a choice here. To live in freedom, but there's still a choice. Now grapple with, we still do have a choice each day of whether we walk in that freedom or don't we. It talks to that. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. So we can't just say, well, I'm free, so I'm just going to do whatever I like. Galatians 5:1. Christ has made us free because he wants us to be free. Wants us to be free. He doesn't want us just to be stuck where we are. Strong. And continue to. Don't let yourselves become slaves again. There's a calling here. There's a we're called to live this victorious life. But there's a responsibility here as well. It's not just like it's just finished. We need to be strong. We need to continue not to satisfy the desires of the sinful nature, but to choose to follow Christ. Okay, I think before we go into the next, are there any questions? So the question for me then is if we call to this freedom, and Jesus has paid for this freedom, it's something that we want to experience, right? So how do we live free? Because I think that's I want to live free. Jesus looked like, how do we get this freedom? Some really great verses in Romans. I think if any of you guys want to explore this more, read Romans. It's just, it's amazing. It talks into what Jesus has done and his call for us to live free as well. Romans 6:12-13 says this. So do not let sin rule your life in this world. Do not do the wrong things that your body wants to do. Sin can use your body to do the things that are wrong. So we look like we're just those things we just can't do. God doesn't take all those desires away. We can still choose. Do not let any parts of your body serve sin as their master. Instead, be ready to serve God as your master. Can you see this? We've got a sinful nature in us, but we've also got the Lord Jesus Christ by his Holy Spirit in us. We've got a choice every day. Who are we choosing to be our master for that day, in that moment? Do that because you have a new life. The old life is dead. So give every part of your body to God. He will use you to do right things. And just to pause here quickly, it's another thought that I've really been having is around the level of commitment that we have in choosing. Quite flippantly, or you do something with all your heart. And I was just chatting with Hebe about marriage. When we enter into a marriage covenant, geez, we think about it. I mean, I don't know, it took me 5 years to make up my mind that I was going to do this thing. And part of it was my folks were getting divorced. Now that we're in, it's like for death to be part. There's a commitment there to make this work. And I just wonder, you know, what level that commitment is deep. Because one of my concerns is that maybe a lot of people come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm happy to accept you for what you've done. But essentially, my commitment is that I'll believe in you and I'm happy to get a ticket at the end. Covenantal commitment. Call to the new covenant. The new covenant is not just Jesus dying, it's us actually dying to him as well. His covenant is never one-sided. It's two-sided. Just that question of, you know, how deep is our commitment to the Lord? Are we covenanting in our heart to follow him? Is that our true commitment? Like anything, commitment shows. And Johnny, you talk about the sports field often. I'm committed, it shows, hey? And you know, I think as a church, we call to this commitment to way beyond the flippant thing of just, you know, thank you, you're dying. Of making Jesus overnight. We call to this, I'm a master, I will make you Lord of my life. Romans 6:13-14. Part of your body, become an instrument of evil to serve. It's a giving completely that we call to. But now you have new life. Use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master. For you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. No longer our master. It doesn't have to be our master. Christ has paid the cost. But I think so much of it depends on this thing. Are we going to continue on our own thing? Are we committed to following Jesus? Are we committed to see? So there's an element that, of this that is us. It requires us to make a commitment. To choose. But luckily, it's not just that. From Romans 8:13-16. It says, but by its dictates, talking about the sinful nature, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will have a different power that is beyond just what we can conjure up in our own will. Can you see that? I mean, there are other religions that also say it's all about doing things well. So, you know, even the Pharisees managed to do certain things, look the right part. But the fact is that because of Jesus' death, we have the power of the Holy Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the sinful nature. Out of us to help us. All who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you've not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead you receive God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father, for his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. From 2 Corinthians it says the same thing. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away, for the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord, where the Spirit is in us, there is freedom. All of us who have had that veil removed can reflect the glory of who Jesus is. The Lord who is the Spirit makes us more and more like, not done by his own great efforts. There's an element of the Spirit who makes us more and more like. We are changed into his glorious image. And I just think what we all need to do is just to ask, to what degree do we see the power of the Holy Spirit in us? And just if I read the scriptures and I hear about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and what it's meant to achieve in our lives, and flip, we all need that. How the Holy Spirit at work in us. I chat with my brother, who we've been up and down in our journey as a relationship the last few years, but I had actually a chat to a few people this last week. My journey is like this. There's still some areas in my life that I'm struggling with. Do you struggle with these same things? Or are you, is your life different? I want to keep chatting with other people. But interestingly, I was chatting with my brother, and he said that his journey was one of striving and striving and striving, and getting closer to be a bit more like Jesus. But about 3 years ago, he was baptized in the Spirit. After months of longing and waiting and praying, it wasn't just a once-off event, but it was just suddenly he went to the front and someone prayed. 3 years, he has not struggled with. So there's an outworking to the power of the Spirit. And I just think, how much do we need that? I need that. We all really need that. So I think the power of the Spirit, if we haven't been baptized in the Spirit, let's call it by ourselves, it's going to be the power of the Spirit to help us. But there's another problem that I've come against, and I don't know if we have. There's an accuser who's the devil. He points at us every single time we do something wrong. Have you felt that? Okay, he says things like, see, you failed again. You're a hypocrite. What are the people at work going to say? You say you're a Christian, but you're not. You're not worthy. Go back in your box. You're a failure. You're not good enough. How could God use you? Either that spoken over me, well, not spoken over me, but I felt that for years. And what does that do? Does it make us want to step up to the plate and step into God's purposes? Or does it make us want to step away and let someone else who empowered us in leadership by who I am? And I would stay in a little shelter, go and retreat somewhere. God is calling us to. Romans 8:1 speaks into that. But now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. That's a lie. Yes, we are imperfect. We know that. We accept we're not perfect. But the condemnation comes from the devil. We're not good enough. How can you possibly lead a service? How can you lead a men's group? How can you lead your family? How can you tell someone that you're a Christian? Because we're all in desperate need of Jesus. But let's not feel under condemnation. That's from the devil. He'll want us to feel so condemned that we stay in our covered somewhere. And I just think so many of us, that's what we do. We say we're not good enough, so we're not willing to step up. Let that not be our life. Finish off. I was just reflecting a little bit about the church. As I said, I've been thinking about the church a lot. Not necessarily our church. In a sense, Christians generally. But maybe the church at large, when we say, you know, 80% of South Africans say that they're Christian. But what we see around us is not a victorious, amazing, shining church that just says, it's amazing, look what he's doing in us and through us. We don't see that so often. And I think, you know, some of the reasons I've just got up here, I think one is that we're not really committed to the battle. Think of how deep is our commitment go? Are we just saying, Jesus, I believe in you and thank you for the ticket, I'll see you in heaven one day, it doesn't really matter what happens in between. Or are we covenanted to Jesus? Or we're like, with all my heart, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm committed to that is taking back ground that the devil wants to take. We also feel condemned and disqualified. As I'm speaking now, we feel it. And I think so many people just live in defeat because they say, flip, I'm just... And I think we also maybe don't realize that victory is possible and paid for. Not perfect victory, but the Spirit talks about freedom. Jesus has paid for freedom. So let's press into that freedom. Let's try to take a hold of that freedom. We're not going to get perfectly there, but we can get a long way there. Also, maybe many of us are not walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. So what is that? Have we experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit? We all have the Holy Spirit in us when we commit to Jesus. So when he was walking with Jesus and Jesus sent them out to do these amazing things, they did miracles, they did all sorts of stuff. But at the end of the day, when Jesus was, when he'd been flogged and the guy said, you know, do you know this guy? The best Peter could offer was, I don't know, in his own strength. But afterwards when he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, he stood up in front of everyone and said, I know this Jesus. And he spoke with amazing power and authority. The power of God's Spirit can transform us. This power of God's Spirit can do in us. We need that. We so need the power of the Holy Spirit. So I guess what I'd like to say is that we need to stand up and we need to get back in the fight. A lot of us are defeated. Broadly, maybe even during this past week, you felt that you've taken steps back. I've often taken steps back and felt like, you know, this, I can't do this fight. But back into this fight. That's the call. In a ground. We're going to take ground. Otherwise, all that's happening is that we're staying still. We're not taking ground for Jesus. So what do we need to do? We need to look to our all-powerful, victorious King. He is victorious. He's really victorious. He's paid the price. And then what we also need to do, we can't just look at him and say, that's great, Jesus, you paid this price. We've got to fall into rank. We've got to choose to be servant soldiers of Christ. That's God is our, he's our master. We need to, are we choosing him to be servants, or are we just going ahead with our own lives? Yeah. I'm happy I'm getting to heaven, but I'm going to live my life now. This is different. We're called to something different here. We're also called to throw off the sin that entangles us. And that's not a passive thing. It's a fight. It's a throwing off. It's like someone jumps on your back and you're in a wrestling match. You've got to throw it off. It's not something that is just passive. We've got to choose to throw it off. So let's encourage each other to do that. The help of the Spirit. And so I think Crossways, just as a church, let's advance on enemy territory together. That's what Jesus would be calling us for. And that's what I would love to see our church do, to taking new ground. I mean, like with our youth, I mean, it's amazing just to see kids coming in, getting excited about being together at youth, but also learning about Jesus. But in all of our spheres, this is what God would have us do. Wouldn't that be amazing if we started shining? We started to really shine around and say, we really are. These guys are different. So that's really my heart, church, is that, and I believe that that's what God's calling us to do. We call stand up and fight. Let's help each other to do that, and we will take ground. So I think if we can we all just stand up, and I think we'll then just close in prayer. Lord Jesus, I thank you that what you see here today is an army. An army of believers, Lord Jesus, who have you. But Lord Jesus, so often this army is one that is happy to accept the step back, to say that we're unworthy and let someone else fight in our place. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would be the one to come and empower us. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would be the one that helps us to stand. And to the Lord, help us to take ground for you. We know that we're called to take ground in this community, Jesus. But Lord, by ourselves, we can't. So Holy Spirit, let us pray that in each of our hearts, won't you come and be Lord? Help us to choose to make you the master, Lord, of our life. But Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would work in my heart. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would work in all of our hearts. Call us out. Call us up, Lord. Call us higher to really live for you, Jesus. I just pray for this church, that this church really would be a church that shines for you. Pray for new people to come to know you in this place. We pray for greater levels of commitment. We pray for difference in this community as we love people, Lord. But we're looking to you. Won't you come and do a work in our hearts? Won't you waken us up? Won't you call us up, Lord? Won't you help us to stand and fight together? Ask that in Jesus' name. Thank you, guys.